Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. The divisional playoff round is in the books. They need a better name than divisional round. Why is it divisional? Who uses that word anyway? Divisional. Eight divisions, three teams that won divisions weren't even in the playoffs anymore this weekend. They were already out. Lost last week. Divisional round. How about, like, isn't conference semifinals even better?
How about survivors round? You get the wild card, and then you go to the survivors round. You survive the wild card.
Open to ideas here. I don't like divisional. Now divisional has become a noun. Oh, we're back at the divisional.
I don't think I have anything to say about this, so let's bring Sal in on the Western Hotline right now. Sal, save me. I don't know. I don't know how to contribute to this conversation.
Let's change the name of the divisional playoffs. Will you help?
I also hate the name. I always have. Wow. But I wonder, Mike, maybe because, remember, it used to be where wild card teams could not play each other. If you were in the same division, you could not play in the wild card round. So therefore, it set up mainly a lot of divisional matchups in the next round.
Okay. And you had five teams instead of six and three divisions.
Right.
So two versus three would usually play. Two versus three would usually play.
It didn't always match up that way, but I bet you got a lot of those, yeah.
Yeah, in this format, division winners, well, they still do meet. Yeah, they still, I don't know. Not my favorite. Okay. Sal has an article up as we are into a new week here of the offseason. State of the Bills quarterback as part of a series. Should the Bills look to add a young backup quarterback this offseason? With or without giving away your conclusion here, Sal, what do you have to say about this question?
I think they should consider it. Matt Barkley offers a lot for them, and I expect Matt Barkley to be back in training camp. But I think you should at least start thinking about, you know, what a younger quarterback under contract can do for you, which is, A, someone you can develop. You don't do it just for 2020. You do it that maybe you can develop that person to be a solid backup for you beyond 2020. B, he's much cheaper than Matt Barkley will be at $2 million for Matt Barkley next year. Matt Barkley's also going to be a free agent going into the last year of his contract. And the further you get, the further Josh Allen goes in his career, I think the need for a veteran backup becomes less and less, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's going to be in his third year. At some point, you say, why do you need a veteran backup? He's going to be a veteran himself. And then you look around and you never know, guys. You just never know when you're going to hit on someone, which goes back to something you've always talked about, Mike, about drafting quarterbacks. But I'm not advocating at all that this new person would come in and, you know, even compete for Josh Allen. But, oh, my gosh, I mean, you just never know when you strike lightning in a bottle by doing it.
Well, right. I mean, if at some point, like the Allen thing is going to, at some point here in the future, whether it's at some point next year or the year after, we're gonna decide. I mean, the Bills will also be deciding this, and I guess they're the ones that matter more for this. They're going to decide whether or not they are satisfied and want to pay a huge contract extension. And between now and then, it would make sense to have another guy that you never know. I mean, the odds aren't great, but you could draft somebody in the fourth round that could at least get you through some rough times if the Allen thing goes off the rails, or, I don't know, even be decent, you know, for you.
Right.
And, you know, it's not to say you can't find a free agent that can do that for you, but, you know, the draft is a cheap way to do that. Free agents, you know, who have any kind of starting experience are going to cost you, I would think, more money than a fourth-round draft pick. So, and I like, you know, the idea of the unknown there is – is a driving force in that point to me, because again, you just don't know who's going to show up and like, oh hey, this guy's actually really pretty good.
Gardner Minshew, right?
Right, sure, exactly.
You have a guy there that did that. And now look, Kyle Allen was undrafted. You could go that route if you want, but the chances are if you like a guy, you might want to draft him. They did take a guy last year, Tyree Jackson. He was undrafted, who many thought was going to be drafted. And in the same regard, this is kind of the same thing. But I think here I'm talking about a guy that you feel more, you know, a lot better about. And right. You have a little more conviction that, you know, he's going to make your team most likely. And then you might decide if you want to keep two or three, if he's ready to take over the number two role, or if you still want Matt Barkley. You let that stuff sort out in the training camp. There's plenty of time for all that to happen. But I just think that, you know, that you have to at least start planning for the future. You have backups at every position in the league that are very important on your team, I mean, that are very important. Quarterback is no different. And I like Matt Barkley for what he serves. He's not long to be serving in that role.
Do you think if they were to do this offseason, that Barkley would still be here and they'd carry three guys and maybe Davis Webb loses a competition to this guy and like those are three guys that you carry? Or what? Do you think a fourth-round pick who shows pretty well in camp could unseat the veteran already?
I think it could happen, Bulldog. I think you bring three to camp, but you also know that, you know what, if the kid we draft, well, here's what I think would happen. Let's say you drafted somebody. I think that immediately you decide if you even want Davis Webb on your roster anymore. Do you need four arms at camp? Fine. There's an argument to be made for it. Mm-hmm. Some teams do it. But let's just say, no, we don't want him. Okay, we're going to release Davis Webb. We're going to come to camp with three guys. From there, you let everybody go at it. Josh Allen's your number one guy. Matt Barkley goes in as your number two. You see what the new kid has, and then you decide, is he ready to be maybe a number two in this league already? Is he close to that? And if not, if you just feel he's not ready, then you keep Matt Barkley, and you can decide. Maybe guys like that usually don't get claimed off the waiver wire at that point. Teams have other players like that that have known their system. It's not as much of a risk as some people make it out to be to waive a fifth or sixth round quarterback you drafted and then bring him back on your practice squad. Right. You can do that, and I think that would be more of the play there.
I don't know what all of this is right now and whether or not this is significantly different, but I feel like there's something here. So I was reading an article at footballguys.com about dynasty values and rookies coming into the league, and it's like, what's going to happen in the off seasons? Where I got into this thought about Derrick Henry, by the way, from earlier, is like, well, what's going to happen with Derrick Henry? That's an interesting one, perhaps, in free agency, as his contract is up, and look how he's doing. So
yeah, Zeke Elliott signed 6 years, $90 million.
Yeah.
What's Derrick Henry going to be asking for, right?
Yeah, and this is supposed to be, for skill positions, a good, really good, actually, draft year, running backs and receivers. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to quarterbacks. So Joe Burrow comes in and starts for Cincinnati. Maybe Tua Tagovailoa goes to Miami and perhaps even starts for Miami if he's healthy. Could be one or two more. But most teams, including the Bills, maybe three-quarters of the teams – are all good at quarterback or at starter. Like, they're, if you go through the – I think this guy at Football Guys, Dan Hendry, we called him and didn't get him for today as far as I know, but hopefully he'll be on sometime soon. He lists seven open jobs: Carolina, Chicago, Indianapolis, L.A. Chargers, Miami, New England, and New Orleans. That's, you know, if Breeze wants to play, isn't it probably Breeze, but maybe that's up in the air. I don't know. So seven open jobs, and he says there are 15, approximately, quarterbacks with starting potential available in free agency. Breeze, Brady, Rivers, Dalton, Fitzpatrick, Mariota, Bridgewater, Taysom Hill is interesting here. The two or three rookies I just mentioned, also Cam Newton, Trubisky, and Brissett, who are on rosters, but those are on teams he's listing as having open jobs. So I guess maybe my conclusion here should be, or the conclusion here should be, more players than jobs. And are some of those guys, like Mariota, Fitzpatrick, some of those guys are headed for backup status, you know, but Brady wouldn't be if he still plays. Breeze wouldn't be. I don't know.
You wouldn't think Newton would be.
No, right. So some guys are just going to get pushed out. You know, it would be like a Matt Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, like, is Dalton actually just going to lose his job? Like, he's not scheduled to become a free agent. He's assuming here that they're just going to move on from Dalton. I wouldn't, even if you draft Burrow, why would you do that? I don't know. Does that something that makes sense?
Well, I don't know what they'll do, but there's just a lot of guys right now. You've got the old guard. Right. You've got the last 2 years where you've had, I don't know, 8 or 10 rookies come in and like are in jobs like Allen is. And then some new ones coming up. And, you know, even Taysom Hill is kind of fun to think about. Like, could he actually be a starting quarterback? There's just a lot maybe just more supply than demand here.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Look, I think I do not think Tom Brady is going to be the quarterback of the Patriots. I mean, as we go forward, I think more and more that he might be, but I've been saying for a while I don't think he is, and it's not just him. Like, he may even want to. I think Belichick wants a younger, more mobile guy, and I think Bridgewater or Mariota could be in play there. I think Cam Newton, you know, could be something maybe they would think about. So there are guys there who could fit roles on other teams. Tyrod is still out there. Obviously, he's backing up right now with the Chargers. Does he become the guy that Anthony Lynn turns to, or does he look for somewhere where maybe he can fit into a role? There are guys out there, you know, who can play. What do the Buccaneers do with Jameis Winston? I think that's a really interesting question, you know, going into next year. So there are guys out there. I think, though, the problem would be for the Bills. I don't think that's the route, if not that you're suggesting it, but if you look at the free agent crop, you know, these guys would cost money, and they're going to make, a lot of them, at least near starter money, if not starter money somewhere. The Bills have a cheap backup in Matt Barkley, but they could get cheaper and they could get younger with another guy under cost control they can develop. And I think that's more of where I think they might want to go, but I don't dismiss at all Matt Barkley still being on this team. I just think they need to start moving forward and thinking about 2021, not just 2020.
But you definitely don't think, and Mike and I, we've talked about this even right after the Houston loss a week ago Saturday, that they're like looking to do what Tennessee ended up doing this past offseason, which is, we've got our guy, we're not really sure about him, we haven't given him a contract extension yet, let's go get this other former starter and just have that ready to go if we need it, and there you go. Week 6 or week 7, whatever it was, like, boom, they hit the button on that and did it. Like, that's, the Bills aren't there.
Not at all, Bulldog. I don't think they're even close to that. I don't think there's any thought of that. And I even think, even if that thought crept into their mind, they would even stop at, we don't want to do that, to what this would look like, right? If we bring a guy like that, a guy with that kind of experience, a guy that really we could say veteran backup, but let's be honest on who he is. You know, that's not who Ryan Tannehill was going to Tennessee. We all knew Ryan Tannehill was going to Tennessee just in case break a glass in case of emergency, right? And they did. And I don't think they even want that resonating anywhere within their own building, let alone outside of it.
Sal Capaccio is with us here. He's on the Wester Hotline. Sales appearance with us is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? So the weekend, what's the lead of the weekend? The crazy second quarter from Kansas City over Houston? Or is it what happened with Lamar and Tennessee upsetting them on Saturday night? Are those two like tied for the top spot? Like, what leads, in your opinion?
I think that what Kansas City did yesterday kind of pushes it off, like, because it was just historic. 51 points in three quarters, coming back after blowing the lead. But really, I think the overall story, if you take a step back, I think is Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, after running roughshod over the AFC and winning the way they did all year, and them losing the way they did in the fashion they did, with the league MVP having such a bad night. I know numbers, they were there, but he had a bad night. He was behind his receivers. He was floating footballs. They did a great job to make him play quarterback. I mean, we've heard that. That's what they did. Even in the locker room, they said that they wanted to make him a passer, basically, and try to beat him by throwing the ball, by getting on top of them early, playing from behind. And I think that has become the story, and now it really creates some questions about maybe going into next year with Lamar Jackson, with the Ravens, sustainability and things like that.
They'd probably want to get him a receiver even more badly than the Bills would want to add a receiver. Like, Baltimore, there were other factors in that game too. The injuries, and also just like, who are their wide receivers? And they really needed Seth Roberts to make a play. Like, the Bills needed Duke Williams to make a play. And guess what? You know, maybe that guy isn't the guy you need there. Marquise Brown definitely had a night. So, I mean, they're the Bills like times 10. They're definitely not going anywhere with Jackson. It's, you know, of course, not even a thought. And they'll want to, but they're so good that they'll probably, maybe they're the same team, only just better, that they'll think wide receiver is a big need, maybe by a lot.
Well, maybe. You know, if you do that, then you know, you're kind of even shifting a little more about what you've kind of built and what you've planned on. They have all these tight ends. They run the ball so well. That's their identity. Their identity is running with Lamar Jackson. He's a good passer, not a great passer. He can make a lot of plays like that. And if you go out and you spend money or another high draft pick, remember they did draft Marquise Brown last year.
Yep.
If you spend another high draft pick and you spend assets in that receiver, are you shifting your change in philosophy? And does that actually ultimately hurt what you're trying to do and how you're insulating him to make the plays he can make? I think it is a bit of a catch 22 for them, Mike, where they have to kind of decide where they want to go with this thing.
Maybe they signed Derrick Henry to a big contract.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, it's this to me, like I'm partial to the Ravens if I need to say so. I mean, I admit it. It's 28-12, but man, like it's five or six plays, you know, it's all the third downs that Tennessee turns into touchdowns. And the turnovers, like Baltimore did move the ball up and down the field all night, but they end up at a field goal here or a field goal there, and then those turnovers in the third quarter there, it was just like, you know, there's probably some panic. Wouldn't there be? I mean, that's sort of what you'd expect
at
that point.
I think you just described the Bills against the Texans, to be honest with you. I mean, they same thing. I mean, they were up. You know, not like this. The Titans were up early on them, but the Bills were up. They were having some success in offense. It went awry, I guess, you know, as the game went on, for sure. But if it's not for the turnovers, you know, and especially Josh fumbling in the middle of the field, and, you know, they convert one of those field goals into touchdowns, we're having a different discussion, and we're, you know, talking about whatever happened with them in Kansas City yesterday.
Yeah.
Just the difference is the score. And Baltimore's and the expectations. I mean, they were
right, of course, yes,
like an even money favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they're down kind of big at early in that game. So they're, you know, you look out.
We are used to, years and years and years here, we've all been together, and Mike and I, obviously, we predate you being around the station, Sal, but, you know, the playoffs go on, and you view them through the prism of your Bills fandom or your Bills analysis, and it's, you know, pretty uncommon that you've got them playing in the first round of the playoffs against a team that then is playing in the next round, but that's what we had. And it's kind of funny. On one hand, I think that game in Kansas City starts and there's all this regret at, well, that could have been us. Kansas City's just serving it up here. This is brutal. And then as the afternoon turns to night, it's how many points did I put up on that defense? Kansas City just put up 51, and I couldn't get past 19. What the hell is wrong with my team? Like, it totally shifts. Both are frustrating, but the reason for the frustration sort of changes as the game goes on.
Yeah, and you know, Bulldog, I the way that Kansas City plays, their dynamic offense, their ability to score the way they can, I can't see now, thinking back, if the Bills would have been able to go there and win. They would have really had to hold them down because the Bills' offense struggles so much to score points. Even Texans with 31 wind up losing by 20, obviously, right? Which is amazing. So, yeah, you're right. You look at it from that regard. As the game's going on, you're like, oh, the Bills could have done this. Come on.
Right.
Block punt and, you know, big play here, a busted coverage, but I can't see them. But this goes back to, at least I think we're happy to hear that, though, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott both self-aware enough to say we have to score more points. And I think that is kind of where you're at with this. You look at that and say, could the Bills have gone to Kansas City and won? I mean, I guess if many things would have gone their way, but the Chiefs, I would be confident in saying they're not scoring 51 on the Bills, but they're scoring enough points where it would have made it really, really hard on a Bills offense that does not get enough points.
Yeah, you go. The lesson for me is, and I have to be reminded all the time, I always forget, is let the game play out. Because at 4 o'clock, I got home from my kid's Boy Scouts Pinewood Derby event, and it's 21-0. And I'm thinking of a conversation you and I had in December, which was, show me the guy who's made a lot of money betting on Andy Reid in the playoffs.
Right.
And then an hour and a half later, it's a joke.
Right.
I mean, they had 7 touchdowns in a row. So
yeah,
plus 937, Mike.
Kicked a field goal and on 4th and inches to keep from getting to 8. Like, they could have gone
because they were so far ahead.
Yeah, they're just like, all right, we'll just kick a field goal here. Yeah.
Plus 937 when they were up, when they were down 24-0 if you went online at that moment.
Plus
937, you could have got them.
Kansas City saw like 9.5-1 to win the game.
Yeah, at that moment, when they were down 24-0, if you got in on them, from what I read online, it was plus 937 at that point. $100 at that point, if you bet them to win the game, returns $937 if you get it.
Yeah.
And they did.
That's awesome. course, you'd have to be somewhere where you take your action.
Do that, right?
You know, online you can do that online. You just can't do that through the Seneca locations online. You got to be there. I'm glad you know that number, Sal. Thanks a lot. Nice talking to you.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right.
There you go. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Again, his appearance brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Do you like I guess I was long on that, but the sort of the equation with the teams that need quarterbacks and the number of guys that there are. I mean, you could try to put them together, and who gets left out? Like, Rivers is somebody who maybe gets left out. Unless he wants to be a backup.
Right.
And would he? If the Chargers are done, who wants Philip Rivers at this point? He can't do better.
He didn't even want to move to Los Angeles from San Diego. Like, what? He's going to go to where? To be a backup? Like,
Carolina?
I don't know. I have a hard time.
Start?
I maybe have a hard time seeing any of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're good names. They're not all great players, but they're like starters.
Yeah.
Some of them. Dalton is not a free agent.
Right.
And I think I listed him like he was, and Sal knew. He has one more year with Cincinnati.
Was Eli Manning even on that list?
No.
He's quitting, right? Is he going to retire?
I don't know. He hasn't yet.
Right.
The only comment I saw from him is that just he wouldn't want to be a backup.
So he's retiring?
Yeah. Unless somebody gave him a start.
Right, right.
Dalton, by the way, no dead cap whatsoever, though, if they wanted to cut him.
What's the move? If you draft Burrow like they will, and he'll start right away, almost definitely, number one pick?
Yeah,
well,
he's old, too.
I shouldn't assume that. I mean,
he's an old number one pick.
Cleveland did not do that with Mayfield. Like, I shouldn't assume that they would do that, but the guy really killed it. I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. They'll still have Andy Dalton on their team if they want him.
Yep.
If not, maybe we go get him. Would you do that?
The Bills?
Yeah. We love Andy Dalton. Come on, think of the of the support.
Of course.
Think of the jerseys.
But he's exactly what we talked about the Bills not wanting to do.
He is? He's too good?
Yes.
Andy Dalton is back to being too good. He was good, and then he was like, oh, he's not that good. And now he's back to being too good.
In this framework, he's too good.
Okay. 803-0550, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here talking about the playoffs and the Bills here, of course. Get some Sabres in, too. This is WGR.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So six players in the league currently are their team's all-time leading scorer.
Yes.
There are six active players in the league that are the franchise they play for now, all-time leading scorers.
Yes.
All right.
I've got three, including Huberto, that I would bet heavily are right. Huberto, since you told us, I would never have guessed him. Stamkos. Is he there yet? I'm out heavily. Ovechkin. Stamkos is not to who? Like St. Louis? Le Cavalier, St. Louis?
Yeah, one of those two.
All right, that's a bad job. Bad job. Betting heavily. Never do it.
Yeah.
Always do it. Do it. Say you're doing it and not actually do it.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
No.
Parisi?
Yeah.
You're on the right track, though. There is a Minnesota Wild player.
Miko Koivu.
Thank you, everyone. Eichel.
Not yet.
No, I don't think he's passed Gilbert yet.
I think he's getting close. He hasn't passed him in playoff scoring yet.
Could Claude Giroux be right? Okay.
Nashville.
So no then? You're telling me no?
That's a no.
That's a no there.
Who is first all-time in points for Nashville? Who's that going to be? Oh, Getzlaff maybe? Is he right? Jeez.
Oh, this is harsh. There's six?
Six.
Yep, and you have...
We've got three. Three so far?
Yeah, you have half.
Who do we have so far?
We have Huberdeau, Ovechkin, and Mikko Koivu.
Mikko Koivu. Okay. this has got to be great to listen to right
first,
now.
Who would be first on Nashville?
I mean, I really don't know.
Like, former Sabre is Gostad. First on Nashville.
Gostad is first all-time in points for Nashville.
Cody Hodgson?
Cody Hodgson. Scott Nickel.
Good pull on Scott Nickel. He did actually play for Nashville.
Yes. No, David Legwand is all-time.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
All right. Which threw you farther? That Legwand is the answer or that he played here? Which was the thing right there that was the most surprising to think about? Okay. Legwand.
Right.
So he's not one of the six because he's not active.
No, he's not.
Joe Thornton is still on the Sharks, right?
Joe
Thornton. He is on the Sharks.
Marlowe's also on the Sharks.
Okay. No, that's Marlowe, a tricky one.
He's back. Okay.
Thornton might have been right at the beginning of the season,
right.
But then Marlowe resigned, I think now he's the
right
answer again.
Okay.
Wow, you're good.
We're missing two. One of them is kind of a trick question, or a trick answer, I guess you could say.
Because he's active, but not really?
No, he's active, but... Maybe it's not a trick answer. He's active, but he's only got 167 points.
Vegas.
Oh, okay, sure. Carlson? Is he their leading scorer?
Marchessault.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Carlson's right.
Carlson's right. I was going to say Carlson.
Thank you.
They're here tomorrow.
Yep.
That means they're probably here now. They're good.
Yeah, they're probably here now. Yeah. We need one more of these?
You need one more, and it's for two teams, but one franchise.
That's you mean name. Somebody like moved?
Oh.
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler.
And that's the list.
Blake Wheeler? So the new Jets.
Oh, wait. Are you missing one? You might be missing one.
Blake Wheeler is
just
the
Washington?
New.
Washington?
Ovechkin.
Yeah, Ovechkin.
Okay, Ovechkin. Yeah, you got them all.
Blake Wheeler is the new Jets, so the Atlanta stats don't count? If they did, would it still be Blake Wheeler?
The list the NHL sent out has Jets/Thrashers.
Right.
And he's still number one?
Yeah.
Man, it's been a while since I followed this league.
Yeah.
He is the number one. Like, oh, Kovalchuk?
No,
for
not
Atlanta
Kovalchuk.
Does not have the points Blake Wheeler does for Winnipeg?
I'm sure they're close. He might have just done that.
Right, Kovalchuk's been gone a while.
Yeah, 615 is the number for Kovalchuk, and Wheeler is sitting at 626, so he would have just done that this season.
How about that? Does that surprise you at all? No.
Well, I guessed him, so no. I thought
we're guessing active players.
He was, you know, I remember him in Atlanta. So
Wheeler was in Atlanta.
So when Joe said that it was with two teams or you know two cities, one franchise, that was what got me to the Jets, and then I wanted to say Shifley, and I was like, oh, no, Shifley, I don't think it was ever in Atlanta. Wheeler was.
Wheeler was traded from Boston.
Yep.
To Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Mark Savard, maybe?
Wow.
Is that trade? Wow. Remember him? Like, he was in Atlanta. He played with Audet, I think, in Atlanta, and went to Boston. I'm guessing that's the Wheeler trade, but I don't I don't recollect it for sure, but it would make sense if that were the trade.
Yeah, if you did the Sporkle quiz of all-time point leaders for each NHL franchise, Kovalchuk is still the answer for the Winnipeg Jets.
Because it hasn't been updated?
It hasn't been updated, no.
So that's, all right, 11 points. I would love that. I would take that quiz. I feel like this is the hardest section.
The current guys?
The current guys?
Right. William Karlsson, Huberdeau.
Yeah.
Is Huberdeau not updated on the Sporkle quiz? It would say Jokinen.
It says Jokinen still.
Wheeler, Mikko Koivu, sure.
It's 26 teams left if you want to do the whole thing. I got it sitting here.
Oh, my God.
What time is it?
You do it in a minute.
All right. Let's see how many we can get in a minute. Okay. Ready?
Sure.
Well, how do you want to do it? Wait, don't start the clock yet. Are we out after a wrong answer? I don't know. You guys decide. Because some of these will be hard, maybe hard because,
yeah,
like,
right.
When did, like, is Gretzky definitely the Oilers? He was there long enough?
Yes.
Gretzky's
yes.
Got to be right?
Yes.
Lemieux?
Yes.
He was there long enough?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Whatever. Gretzky, Lemieux. Are they both right?
This isn't exactly 1 minute bump, just so you know.
Gretzky and Lemieux.
Both correct.
Perreault.
Correct. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, I'm done. Gordie Howe.
Yzerman.
No.
Yzerman for Detroit.
Yes.
Wow.
Not Yzerman.
Not Yzerman.
No, you said Gordie Howe.
Zetterberg.
Right.
I said Gordie Howe.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's like the fourth all-time
Gordie Howe.
I meant to say Gordie Howe.
You're getting an extension.
All right. Thank you.
Philly. I'm hating this so much. I love it and hate it. I am very mixed up.
Philly is who? Not Lindros. It's not long enough.
No.
Can't be him. It's not Giroux because I guessed him during the active thing.
Gagne.
No. Who's?
Barber. Clark.
It is Clark?
It's Clark. 1,210 points.
All right. Is Rick Nash Columbus?
Yes.
Is Eric Staal? No, he's not. Well, Eric Staal, Carolina?
No.
Is it Carolina Hartford?
Ron Francis.
It's Carolina Hartford. Ron Francis.
Ron Francis. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I guess we're going past a minute.
Yeah.
We'll go another minute.
Clearly, we're going past a minute.
How about, do you want me to read teams off?
Patrick Elias with New Jersey.
Yes.
Sakic.
Sakic is correct.
Marcel Dion, L.A.
Yes.
Daryl Sittler, Toronto.
No.
Sundin.
Yes.
Yeah.
How about Anaheim?
Perry.
No.
Solani.
Yes. Arizona.
Doan.
Yep. Boston.
Shoebottom.
No. Is that a real name?
Yes.
Yes.
Shoebottom.
Yes.
He was a goon.
Finally, we can tell Joe something.
He was an 80s goon.
Joe in there with all the answers.
Boston. Esposito?
Nope.
Busick?
Nope.
Schmidt?
Nope.
Bobby Orr?
Nope. But you have the right position.
Ray Bourque.
1,506.
Points.
Calgary.
Aginla.
Chicago.
Makita.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Modano.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You got LA. You got Minnesota. Montreal.
I've been putting this one off.
Me too. I mean.
Henri Richard.
Nope.
Béliveau.
Nope.
Guy Lafleur.
Yes.
Is it really?
It is Guy Lafleur, 1,246.
I wanted to pick someone older than him.
Yeah, Guy Lafleur. I wanted to pick a center.
Only got a few left. Islanders.
Trottier.
Yep. Rangers. This might be the only person on the list I've never heard of.
Really?
Yeah.
Rod Gilbert.
Yes. See, I would have said Gilbert. Ottawa.
Alfredson.
Yep. You got Pittsburgh, you got Philly, you got San Jose, St. Louis.
Federko.
Good pull there.
Tampa.
We said one of the two older guys. St. Louis,
oh,
was my guess.
St. Louis, yep. Vancouver.
Sedin.
Half right.
It. Love that guess.
Which one?
Al Sedin.
Henrik.
Henrik is correct. And
great job.
That's it. That's the list.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, well, it was more than a minute.
Yeah, I guess that was a lot.
We had some misses.
Something to
whatever.
Do.
Yeah.
Timeout. This is Mike Shope and the Bulldog WGR.
It's odd. It's like people got frustrated that I was so confident early on in my career, so that people wanted me to fail. And when I didn't fail, it's like, how do we tear him down in other ways? How do we find a way to tear him down? You know what I mean? How do we find a way to rip his game apart? Because I'm too consistent on a year-in, year-out basis. You know, since I got in the league, every category that matters to a corner, I'm number one in. Completion percentage, interceptions, touchdowns against, yards, passer rating. If that was any other corner, it wouldn't even be a conversation. In the playoffs, I played in 13 games now, 0 touchdowns given up, 3 interceptions. Like, show me somebody else doing it like that, and then I'll enjoy the argument. You know what I mean? But there isn't.
Richard Sherman. And the 49ers into the semis. Nice team.
Yeah. It's really something how over the course of 3, 4, 5 longer, some number of years, guys who rubbed you the wrong way initially, now like you hear them talking, you're just like nodding going, I love this guy. Like Sherman's flag planting moment is screaming at Aaron Andrews on the field after the NFC Championship game. I think that's the first time we ever felt the need to talk about Richard Sherman, I think.
About Michael Crabtree.
Right. And it was just like, what am I watching? Am I watching wrestling? Like, what happened to what is going on? Dude, all right. Back off. And now I hear him talk and I'm just like, all right, I think he's probably pretty awesome. And some of that is the quality of play he's put up over the years. Some of that's maybe just his personality overall. A smart guy, causes he's been vocal about, whatever. I don't know, something about him agrees with me. Marshawn Lynch. I mean, I just could not stand Marshawn Lynch's act when he was here. I couldn't. There was a lot of immaturity there. And now I hear him talk, and I think, like, okay, yeah, you got it going. You got it. You understand. And, like, I don't know, he's probably not that different a guy. I'll assume he's still not bringing his own booze into bars like he was accused of doing here when he was here.
You've never done that, really.
No, I've never done that. I mean, there's still an all-time Bush League move, and yeah, he deserved criticism. But he matured and has grown into this figure in the league that, to me, is to be respected. And I don't know, I didn't see that coming 10 years ago with him.
Sherman really knows his stats. He should watch the games. I mean, I don't know why. You know your stats like that. Obviously, you're someone who doesn't watch the games. Sherman should watch the games, I think. I like him, too. My line that I remember him using was at a Super Bowl press conference, one of the Seattle years, when he didn't understand the guy's question. I have no idea right now what the question was, but Sherman tried to answer it, and the guy followed up, and he still didn't understand it, and Sherman said, in maybe one of the most polite ways you could think to say simply that you're just not smart enough for me, Sherman said, I think maybe the levels aren't there for us. That was his line. That was his way of putting it. You know, never a nice thing to say,
right,
but that's what came out of his mouth. Like, I think maybe the levels aren't there for us. That was Sherman at a Super Bowl press conference. I just disliked him for that one play against the Bills on the Monday night game.
Yep.
But great career, and, you know, maybe he's right here about, maybe he's underrated at this point, Sherman. The Final Four, Tennessee, Kansas City, Green Bay, San Francisco, conspicuously no Baltimore Ravens Your takeaways. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.